Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking how to keep your relationship alive post-kids. I think this topic is absolute gold for me and for many of you, I'm sure. I feel as though it's something we don't talk about enough in motherhood, and yet in my life has probably been one of my greatest challenges in motherhood. Today, I'm joined by Sunny Roberts from Wholehearted Woman, a dear person who loves to talk about this topic and has so much wisdom to share. Sunny and I have come to know each other well over the last 12 months or so, and Sunny was also the co-host of our Rise and Shine retreat in May this year in 2023. So we had an incredible couple of days together there, and what she shared on retreat with the ladies who joined us was so well received that I knew I wanted to have Sunny more involved to support my clients, community, and you listening. So welcome to the show, Sunny.
Hello, hello, and thank you so much, Benita, for having me. I'm very excited.
We're excited to hear all of what you're going to share today. So before we get cracking on the topic, Sunny, could you just tell us a little bit about you, your family and life, the work you do and your why behind why you do what you do?
Yeah, awesome. Of course I can. My name is Sunny, born and raised in Germany. So I'm German. And just to give you a little bit of a background, in my 20s, I worked a career in corporate HR, climbed the career ladder, had a massive breakdown, you could call it, identity crisis at the age of 29, because I lost my job that I was very identified with, and my relationship of 5 years broke down, and that really led me onto a journey of self-exploration. And that journey of self-exploration happened to be in Australia. And this is when I found yoga, and I had that massive realization that the key to happiness in life doesn't lie on the external world, but it starts within ourselves. And that's when I really started to do the work and to dive in. And a couple of years on, I met my now wonderful husband, Andrew. We had two kids, and I had two massive realizations. First realization was that marriage is hard. Like, it is super hard. I mean, who knows better how to press the buttons, and who can trigger you more than the person who is closest to you and knows you best? I also realized that we don't really get equipped in life to have a happy relationship, because the only thing that we know about relationships is what we watch our parents role modeling growing up. And unless you had your parents role model an amazing, healthy, happy relationship, you just don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. And healthy relating is a skill. And the second realization is that connection is what we're here for. In order to, you know, have that beautiful, connected marriage, you really need to make that your focus. Yeah, we had a couple of really rough years, to be honest with you. And I realized I don't want that anymore. I want to feel adored in my relationship. I wanted to feel seen and chosen as a woman. Once I started to stop playing the play game and stop pointing fingers at him and saying, it's all your fault. You need to see me, and you need to want me, and you need to change. And once I started to take responsibility that I'm co-creating these dynamics that were unhealthy at the time, I had that massive breakthrough. And that was that I was living completely out of balance. I was living my life in masculine energy, which means I was stuck in my head. I was in a strong, independent woman mode, super productive, logical, and just tough and really hardened on the inside. I realized that presenting in that way doesn't help me to connect with the woman that I am, and it doesn't help me to connect with my man. So I went on to this journey to rediscover who I am as a woman and reconnect to the femininity that I am and see the value in it, which is the, you know, the softness and the playfulness and the intuition and the connection to my heart and to my emotions. And once I started to see the value in this, and once I started to really embody this, my life completely changed. This is the work that I do now in the world. I help women to reconnect to, you know, their feminine side, because we all, unfortunately, these days live out of balance. And once we connect to our feminine side, we will just discover a new fire and a new sense of aliveness within us. And it also helps us to just connect with our partner and have a healthy and happy relationship.
Maybe we'll get to this later, Sunny, but was it motherhood that hardened you? Did you become harder as a result of becoming parents and going on that new journey together?
It's a very interesting question. I think I was brought up by a strong, independent woman, aka my mom is wonderful, but she's definitely living in masculine energy. So I was, that was role model to me. So I think I was always very comfortable in that masculine side of myself. I think what motherhood did for me, it put me under a lot of pressure and stress. Like most mothers, I was completely overwhelmed, completely stressed out. And what it did, it pushed me more into that masculine side. Like I got even busier, even more addicted to be perfect and just even more stuck in my head. So it heightened the masculinity, I'd say. But I was always very comfortable in it, if that makes sense.
And we chatted before the show and we're talking about feminine and masculine and how we can't make this show about that because it's a whole topic in itself. But for my listeners who are listening thinking, what does she mean by that? Is there a brief way of explaining?
Yes, I can give you a short explanation. So we all consist of two energies, the feminine and the masculine energy. And what it is about is to find balance within. And masculine energy is that part of us that is super productive, busy, connected to logic and thinking. And that is tough and that pushes through. It's about being purpose-driven and needing to achieve. And the feminine energy is the complete opposite. It's about emotions, about being within the body, being connected to our desires, our sensuality, the playfulness, and to our softness. And what I find post-feminism in this world is that most of us are just too much in the masculine energy. And we really lost sight of the value that femininity brings. And in order to bring that balance to us, we need to rediscover who we are as women, and that will help us to feel whole. And then we bring this wholeness to relationship, and that's when our relationship completely transforms. Because energetically, you have to understand that he doesn't want to be married to a man. He wants to be married to a woman. Mm. And if you present in masculine energy within the relationship, energetically, it's not a match.
When we were on retreat in May, Sunny, one of the greatest takeaways I got from you was that femininity is not how you look, it's how you feel, because it could be easy to extrapolate the thought of femininity to think, oh, well, I need to be girly, or I need to wear dresses, or I need to do something. But it's more about how you feel and getting in touch, as you say, with your sensuality, with your emotions. And also what I learned on retreat with you is that, and for most of us there, we did say, oh yes, we do exist in that doing, acting, you know, going, go, go, go energy, do, do, do. So gosh, there's so much awareness to have for all of us around this topic. So coming back to thinking about relationships and how we can help our relationship to not just stay alive, but to flourish post kids. What do you hear most commonly from the women you work with about how their relationships have changed in motherhood, both the good and the challenging?
Such an interesting question. Thank you so much, Benita. Before I answer that, I have to really want to emphasize what you mentioned last, because there's so much misconception in the world about what feminine energy is. And being in your feminine doesn't mean to be weak or to be a doormat or to become a people pleaser. It's actually quite the opposite. Being in your feminine energy and having both masculine and feminine in harmony within actually is very, very empowering. So that's a big misconception that's out there in the world. And being feminine has nothing to do with the stereotypes that we, you know, attribute to being a feminine woman, like having the boobs out and whatever it is, you know, having the red lips going and just being quiet and in the corner and not having any power. No, that's the stereotype of what society attributes to feminine energy, but it has nothing to do with, let's say, spiritual feminine energy that I refer to. So thank you so much for clarifying that. To your question about what women come to me with, most women that come to me say, Sunny, I'm married to a really good guy. I know he's an awesome man, but we lost connection. We don't communicate anymore. We don't talk about what really happens. We talk about the kids and about the administration of life, about business, but this connection is gone. The emotional connection is gone. I don't feel he prioritizes me anymore. And since kids come along, life is just too busy and there is no time or space for us anymore. And many women who come to me say, like, I want to feel like a woman again. I don't want to just feel like a mom, the cleaner, the cook, the business owner, or whatever roles we're in. These women who come to me, just like me, have lost their sense of what it means to be a woman. And it's my biggest joy in life to help women rediscover that, if that makes sense. Yeah, so most of them come with that, they lost of identity of what it is to be a woman and to be in this body and with like a relationship that feels dissatisfying. Yeah.
Is it inevitable that in motherhood, in our society, the way the institution of motherhood in which we exist, whether we know it or not, as in the rules, these invisible rules that we live within, the fishbowl of motherhood, we call it in motherhood sociology, whether we know it or not, we are trying to live up to standards and rules and what we should do, which drives our perfectionism and our trying to be the perfect mother, trying to be the perfect this, trying to be the, you know, trying to get back to work and be perfect at work and all this striving. Do you see people who do it well? Like, is there where they are still connected in their relationship? Are there some examples of that as well? Or do you find it's actually more common that your relationship gets very challenged in motherhood?
Oh, 100%. It gets challenged so, so much. So I think it's nothing that is talked about. And I love what you just said, how you described that fishbowl of motherhood and the striving, the perfectionism. Listening to that, my body actually tensed up because, man, this is really, really happening. And all that striving is masculine energy galore, by the way. Like, it's not good. It doesn't bring us closer to who we are. What we see on social media so much is those perfect images of what motherhood is. We see the photo shootings, the newborn photo shootings, the family photo shootings where everybody's smiling. But if you look behind those pictures, there is so much pain and heartache because what's never talked about is the reality of having children and what it does to relationship. Like, it is a relationship, the connection that you have with your man takes a huge hit having children, and it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable because where does your energy go and where no doubt it has to go. And when this baby comes along, all the energy goes into the new baby, and that's normal and that's perfect. And it needs to be like that because that little creature, that perfect little baby needs us to stay alive. Yeah. But the problem that I see is that we get so busy looking after the baby, and then 1 year goes by, a second year go by, and we end up in a child-centered marriage.
Yes.
You know, like, we need to make that shift. I think in that 1 year, it's fine. You need to kind of get through as a couple. Like, it is challenging. Second year, maybe, but then you really need to shift focus, because in order to have a happy relationship, you need to put energy and focus onto that relationship, because the relationship is like a garden. And if you leave that garden and do nothing with that garden, weeds will grow, the flowers will die. Your relationship will suck, like, to really put it very plainly. So it's about having the awareness. And you asked me if I know people who do it perfectly. I don't know if perfection exists. I think it's a big exercise in awareness and keeping the awareness, you know, like, where is my energy at? What's the state of my relationship at the moment? And a lot of studies have been done, Benita, I actually read up on that, is that the foundation of a happy family and a happy family dynamic is the relationship of the parents. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation of everything. Why is that? Because our children learn relating by watching us relating. And like, you have to really go deep and ask yourself, what do you want to demonstrate to your child? Like, how do you want to demonstrate relationship to your children? Like, you know, what does happy relating look like in your family? And hopefully, if you make that shift from, you know, away from the child-centered marriage and put some part of the energy back into who you are as a couple, the children will learn that. And they will see mommy and daddy need time together, and they spend time alone, and grandma looks after us, or the babysitter looks after us. And hopefully that becomes normal. So when they start their families, they will have those foundations of what happy relating looks like. And the happy relationship of the parents gives that security and the stability for the children to flourish.
I love that question. What does happy relating look like? That's a brilliant question to ask yourself. And what I've experienced, Sunny, in our marriage, which I want to talk to you about relationship cycles and seasons, because as you said, in those first few years, you're keeping a new human alive when they're tiny. Your relationship becomes very focused on this new exciting stage. And now our eldest is 9, and we're kind of going into some different stages. But what I've experienced is it just keeps evolving, and it does take a conscious effort and a conscious priority. And I only recently observed that I wasn't putting it on my planner, you know, like, on my weekly planner, monthly planner, quarterly planner, whatever. There's business, there's family admin, there's the farm, me, kids. But he wasn't on there. Adam was not on there. And because he's just there. But it wasn't actually, it was the retreat actually that made me go, oh my gosh, where am I putting him on the planner? Where are we apart from when we go on business trips? Where's our special time together where we're relating as a couple amongst, as a priority amongst everything else? So in my experience, relating, the way we relate has changed so much. And over the years, as our children have gone through different stages, and also when you were talking about how we kind of lose our identity and our relationship takes a hit. And as you know, I work with mums to help them reestablish and redefine the new me. It's almost like then you redefine the new me, but with that comes then the next question of how do I want to relate to my partner in the way that I choose, not just in how I should. That was a lot of words and a lot of me talking out loud, Sunny, but it's just such an interesting but such an important topic to prioritize this in our life when children take center stage.
I totally agree with you. And you have to remember, it's of course us as mums going through that massive transition from maiden to mother. And I'm 5 years into that journey, and I'm finally, like, I was doing a post on this on social media. I was like, I finally found, I got a bit of a handle on it. Yes. I don't think you ever arrive on it, but I kind of feel comfortable a little bit in that role. And I feel like the old Sunny is there again as well. And they're both kind of integrated, which is wonderful. But you have to remember that as a couple, once you become parents, you go through a massive identity shift, the two of us. The two of you go through a massive identity shift from being lovers to being parents. And to negotiate and embody that, of course, it takes time, it takes discussions. Amongst all the physical pressures and the psychological pressures of early parenthood, when you're sleep deprived, when you as a woman went through massive, you know, physical change of being pregnant and having that child, and then your body might look completely different, you might not even recognize anymore some half of your body. When you might, you know, deal with hormones, postnatal depression, when you're having breastfeeding issues, like all that stuff is going on. And amidst all of that, like he is finding who he is as a father. And what I realize is that more and more is that it's a big deal as well for men, that transition. Talking to girlfriends, I saw that as well in Andrew. He all of a sudden got really concerned about money because he felt so responsible for us as a family to provide for us, and he got really stressed about it. And there wasn't really a reason to stress because we're fine, but just in his mind. So I'm realizing, of course, as women, we go through the bigger change, right? But they go through a change too, and then as a couple, we go through a massive transition. So I think it's like, if you picture it, it's like the two of you walking through a big like sandstorm, and it's like confusing, and maybe like you come out on the other side, but of course there's wreckage, and of course like there might be some damage, because like it's like a sandstorm is confusing and it's tough, and it's not an easy stage as a couple. And if you don't talk about it, I think it's so important to keep the communication open and to talk about it. Like women come to me and the kids are then out of the house and they never, you know, manage to transition back into putting some energy back into them as a couple. And like the kids leave the house or they go to boarding school and all of a sudden the house is empty. The parents are in there and nothing is left. Like nothing is left. And that's so sad. So it's so important that we start to work on our relationship, and we nurture the relationship while it's not terrible. Like you don't want to end up like standing there, the kids are out of the house and then nothing is left. Like start working on it now, start putting effort in now is the message that I want to drive home, right?
And I want to advocate as well for getting support, getting the coaching, getting the counseling, getting the help. Like we invest in accountants and solicitors, and we go to GPs and we have business coaches or life coaches. Why can't we also put as much emphasis on our relationships? And I know particularly with a lot of the men I'm exposed to in rural Australia, there's a real barrier around, and I think it comes from American movies, where if we go and get counseling, we're going to have to sit on the couch, we're going to have to sit and talk about our feelings. And that's the picture we all have in our minds of what it means to get help in a relationship. I want to say there's nothing wrong with getting help in your relationship, whether that's working with you, Sunny, with coaching, or whoever and whatever that looks like, through your church, through whatever. But finding support to support you through, and knowing there's no failure in that. What do you think about that?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with you. So when we look at men these days, age 30 years and older, they might have still grown up being told by their parents, don't be a crybaby, don't cry, like just get on with it. And have been taught to push down emotions and never learn to feel their emotions. Hopefully, mothers, you and I, and our generation will do a better job in raising our boys. But we have to realize our husbands might have very likely grown up in a different era where emotions were something to be ashamed of. So I think that is part of being, you know, being very fearful about going into those discussions about, you know, like the discussions about relationship and about, oh, am I really happy right now? And what do we need as a couple? What needs to change? This is not really working for me. These are hard conversations. Yeah. They're vulnerable. So much is at stake. They're raw. And there is no education around how to do it. There's no support. And what I want to say and what I want to support you saying is, you don't have to go through that on your own. If you look at a therapist or like a couples coach, it's about creating the space to have those difficult conversations, because they are not easy. They're hard. And why not, get the support? And we need those conversations in order to move through those stages in relationship. And I loved what you said earlier about seasons and stages in relationship. We have to realize that love is a journey without destination. Like, you will, as a couple, never, ever arrive at a stage where you look back and say, wow, we've done so many hurdles, we climbed so many mountains, and here we are. We arrived. We arrived at the perfect love. Like, here we are. Like, that's not going to happen. The next hurdle will come. Like, it's a journey without destination. And we just have to keep working, you know, keep working together and go through those cycles of connection and disconnection, repair, and just learn how to relate in a healthy way. And to, keep those communication channels open. And that's one of the things that I see is the biggest challenge for couples. Like, many couples I work with, they don't know how to talk to each other, you know. They don't know how to have those conversations.
So the cycles and the seasons of a relationship that we've touched on a little bit, Sunny, do we just have to accept that we're going to go through those as we're raising families together? And how do we know that we have a healthy relationship as we go through those stages and cycles? Like, what are some of the indicators of a healthy
relationship? What a great question. You know, I love it. I love the question. So talking about cycles and relationship, just really quick, there's different models about that, but just I show you one model that's about cycles and relationship. First stage, you meet each other, honeymoon phase, you're high on hormones, you idolize your partner, you only see the positive, right? You've got
the things that annoy you. You're just like, oh, that doesn't matter.
Exactly right. Second stage, habituation phase. You find rituals together. Maybe you snuggle up each Sunday. Maybe you go to the farmer's market together. Maybe you like walks together. You start to realize, okay, he's actually not perfect. You start to see the things, and it's usually the things that we admire at the very start are the ones that piss us off the most. So if you admire how driven he is when you first met, you realize, oh shit, he's actually an workaholic. Or if he's very laid back and you think, oh my God, he's so laid back, I love his like relaxedness. And then like, he can never be on time. That's what pisses you off, right? And you ask yourself the question, why can't he be more like me? Usually we want them to be more like me and understand us. And just like, because we of course do everything right. They need to change. We need to be more like us. Third stage, disillusion stage. And that's when the power struggles come in. Like, I'm right, you're right. Let's do it my way. My way is the right way. And you could either fight, and there's lots of fighting, or you grow apart silently. And you grow apart silently usually when things are kept under the rug. And this is the stage when you only notice the negatives. You don't see positives. You just know all the failures of your partner and all the stuff that really, you know, pisses you off, and you're frustrated. And it's a hard stage to be in. Stage four is the decision phase, and that's the make or break moment. And you know that you are there when you seriously consider leaving the relationship because it's not working for you. And then one of three things can happen. You either stay and work it out, like the two of you have those really uncomfortable conversations, or you leave, or he leaves, or you stay and you don't work it out, but you're going to be miserable. Because you're going to be like, it's almost like if you don't work on the problems that are there, and they will be there. Every couple has problems. It's perfectly normal. It's almost like having a house on a rotten foundation. Like, you know, the rock will slowly start to make the house very shaky. So if you decide to work it out and you have those really hard emotional conversations, you go into the stage number five, which is wholehearted love. And that's when the relationship is at its healthiest, and you're accepting of the imperfections in yourself and in your partner. You'll feel close connected to who you are as a person, but also close connected to you, to him. And, you know, the playfulness and the fun comes back into the relationship. And this is a cycle. It's not a linear cycle. You go through these phases again and again and again. And I'm telling you this because when I first realized that every relationship goes through cycles and every relationship has problems, it was such a big relief for me because I always thought everybody else is just really happy and only my relationship sucks.
I was just about to say, this is so comforting to hear this.
Right?
It's so comforting to normalize that cycles are normal.
Cycles are normal, you know, and you go through these cycles and then throw kids into the mix and it all gets intensified or it gets put on hold because your complete energy goes onto the children and the relationship's on the back burner. That can happen too. But yeah, that's a point that I really want to drive home. They did research on that. Every relationship has problems. Perfection does not exist. Mm-hmm. And your question about how do I notice signs of a healthy relationship is, I think the biggest sign is both of you are continuously willing to look at your own stuff and to work on your own stuff to become better. Andrew and I, we have a contract together and it goes, I work on me for you and you work on you for me. Like that's how we operate. We continue to show up. Because there will be frictions, there will be disagreements, there will be new hurdles and problems. It's inevitable. But how do we show up to that? And I think that is like a really good indicator if both of you are willing and able to continue to work on yourselves and not scared to look at the dark corners, you know, in your soul.
I love that recommittal as well, like recommitting to one another that we will continue to do this because it is... Life really is all recommitting to what we commit to in the first place, and that continual showing up is that's the hard work of marriage. Like it's not just one and done. It's we're in this, and I guess it's when one of you decides that actually I'm not in this anymore, that things change. So, Sunny, we all want to know from you, what are then the best strategies, tips, suggestions on how to keep your relationship alive and healthy post-children when you have these little humans with the numerous many other things that come with that? And I don't know about you, but for me, motherhood has held up the mirror so much for me. Because it forces you to look at your own stuff and your own childhood, and you're then trying to make decisions from your own conditioning, which your upbringings were different. So there's just like you're trying to agree on things financially. There's so many variables in the mix. So I hope you've got some golden nuggets for us, Sunny.
I hope so too. No, I definitely got some golden nuggets. So I think the biggest tip is to keep the couple bubble alive. And what I mean by that is couple bubble is time dedicated to the two of you and where there's no talk about children and no talk about business and where you connect in doing maybe something adventurous or something fun together. And just like having some fun together and being playful, like it's the being playful is the most highly underrated relationship skill out there. You know, just do something fun together and make that a priority. And even if it's just once a month, because you're in a really intense phase of life, making the couple bubble like a priority is absolutely crucial in order to, you know, that's the way you prioritize your relationship. I think sleep arrangements are a huge thing, as in the practicality of being parents, putting the kids to bed at a consistent time. When the kids are younger, figuring out sleep arrangement. Do you co-sleep? You know, do you want to co-sleep? For us, it was a decision, yes, to a certain degree, but then the kids had to go back into their own beds because we actually valued to have the bed for ourselves. Like, you know, what is... and there's no right or wrong answer here. It's about finding what works for you and what works for you as a family and what works for you as a couple. Explaining to the kids that mom and dad need time together, so the kids understand that it's important, and mom and dad actually make an effort to nurture their relationship, and hopefully they will learn that as being normal so they can bring that to their relationship. And being very conscious about what kind of relationship we role model to our children. Is that the relationship we want to role model right now? You know, what are the priorities we role model to our children?
And being conscious about that, hey, and not just acting from your conditioning or your programming based on what you saw and what you experienced, but actually consciously choosing, which I think is really empowering.
So empowering.
Like 100%. For you as a couple to go, okay, what do we want? Like, what are our rituals and traditions and our guidelines of kind of scary as well, but empowering nonetheless to consciously create your family experience.
100%. 100% agree with you. And this is a lot of the part of the work that I do with women, looking at the childhood wounding and looking at how the relationship we witnessed as a child influences our relationship today, and to make that conscious choice. Okay, this is great, I want to keep that, but this is not serving me and I actually want to consciously change that. Yeah, it's very empowering. I agree with you. And my last gold nugget that I have is self-care. Oh my goodness, the good old self-care. When I take good care of myself, I'm a better mother, I'm a better wife, I'm just easy to be around, and things roll off my back. And when I don't do self-care, I just realize I'm getting grumpy, I'm getting impatient, and I'm just not as kind and loving as I could be. So making self-care a priority is actually a motherhood and a relationship skill, in my opinion. So that is absolutely key. And I think for us people these days that are so busy, I think scheduling things is important. And a wonderful practice that someone shared with me, I think it was a retreat we were together that someone shared, which is I love, like, wait, once a month, make a self-care day for yourself, and hubby has a self-care day for him, whatever fills up his cup. Make some couple time, make time for couple bubble, and then make family time. Do something as a family that is fun or different. And I just think in this day and age where we're all so super busy, I think once a month is actually something that is achievable, if that makes sense. And if we manage to put that into our calendar and do it on a monthly basis, and maybe even put it on the fridge, the things that we do for the month, it creates a really nice rhythm, and it can create a really positive dynamic, not only for you yourself as a couple, but also as a family as a whole.
What's your self-care thing, Sunny? What do you love to do?
What do I love to do? Oh, so many things. At the moment, a big self-care thing for me is dancing. Samba. Samba is a big self-care thing. I love catching up with girlfriends, going for a walk on the beach, going for a preki date with my husband is self-care.
And what about your couple bubble? What's some things you and Andrew like to schedule in?
Yeah, walks on the beach is definitely, we love going for a walk on the beach, and then the brekkie dates. We can't do dinner dates because we don't have the support at the moment to really get away at night. So we do lunch dates or brekkie dates, and we make an effort to like schedule them in on a regular basis.
Awesome. And I love the word that stands out for me from this conversation is playful. That, because I feel like before kids, your relationship it is very playful. Like, it seems to me like it gets more serious as more stuff gets added in. Maybe it's a factor of your personality, joint personalities as well, but things just get more serious. You know, you get a mortgage, you get multiple mortgages, children, responsibilities, commitments, community, you know, it just keeps layering on. And all of a sudden you're looking at each other going, we don't play anymore. We're just serious. So that word stands out to me, like, how can we have play full time, where we just go and do something that doesn't have an outcome, just to do it.
I absolutely agree with you. And yeah, I love that you picked up on that. And when you have that playful time together, also lower the expectations. What I find working with women, if the couple bubble is not prioritized, and then finally there is a date, and then the expectations are so high and everybody's so nervous, and then usually the date is not matching the expectations and everybody's really disappointed. So making it playful and keeping it light and not trying to have those serious conversations, just doing something fun, I think, yeah, is...
Oh, that's a good point, because you could plan a date night and then go out and talk about what's our goals for our life and what are we here for? Yeah, just keeping it... Because I think when you get time together, you want to have all the conversations about everything.
Couple bubble is not about the serious conversations.
Oh, good
point. Couple bubble is only about the fun times.
Okay, because I feel like we crave time to talk. It feels hard to find space to talk in our household. So when we do get the chance to be together and talk, we gravitate to the big topics. Because you feel like you want to kind of cover them off, like, oh, we need to talk about that. So probably then you're still doing serious stuff.
Well, that depends on how you feel doing that, right? Benita, let me ask you, do you feel like talking about the big stuff, does it make you feel light and you feel connected to him, or is it all a bit heavy going?
Depends. If we're talking about a trip we want to do or something we're both in alignment in creating, like a project or a future goal, something that excites us, yes, but it can also get quite quickly into logistics, like the how, or well, how are we going to fund that? Or so it's okay when it's still on a playful, light level of possibility, but when it starts to get into nitty gritty, then it changes vibration.
I reckon it does. And I reckon you're absolutely right with what you said. We don't have fun together anymore because life is so serious with all the responsibility, and having fun together and having that lightness to better really, really builds the connection. So yes to talking about the big stuff, but if you're on the couple bubble, leave the logistics and the heavy going stuff out of it. Like, you can have time like that has to have another conversation.
And maybe also redefining what fun and playfulness is, because before kids, that was doing weekend getaways, and that was probably lots of sex and, you know, just lots of different things that now probably aren't quite as possible. So maybe these days fun is, I don't know, something smaller, something more every day, but like you said, walking along the beach, you know, you're just spending time together in a nice way.
In a nice way, but it could be also more adventurous than that.
Maybe it could be more sex.
It could be more sex as well. It could be. Once I wanted to be extra adventurous and took Andrew to a high ropes course, not knowing he has fear of heights. Wasn't quite the playful that I expected, but he overcame a lot of fears that day, which was great as well. But one of the amazing women I work with, they decided to, you know, kind of dive into each other's world. So she's going to go rowing with him because he loves to do rowing.
Oh,
and he's going to go to a tango class with her because she loves dancing. So, you know, doing something that you might not, you know, usually love to do, that's not your first priority hobby, but just, you know, diving into his world and so he can show you what he loves, and he does the same for you. Things like that.
This has been an amazing conversation, Sunny. I think it's very empowering. It's very encouraging that, A, it's normal to experience changes, cycles, seasons. B, there is support, and there is a whole field that supports, and there's people like you who support this, and that, you know, there is choice, and it comes down to actually being aware, doing some of the work, both on yourself and together. And I love the idea of the contract, and re committing to one another that I still love you, I still want you, what I choose you. So how do we, that's so empowering, I think, to say I choose you. So how do we make this the best we can? What else would you like to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
Just on the lines with what you said, I choose you. I think it's really, really important to be in touch with what you need in a relationship. And I think it's in particular hard for us women, because when we become mums, our needs are so much on the back burner for such a long time. We get disconnected to what we desire and what our needs are. So I think the first step is really to figure out, what do I need in this relationship? What do I really need?
And what could that look like, Sunny? Like, what are some examples of what you might need?
Yeah. So what I deeply needed, and that's part of my feminine core, is I really wanted to be seen. I really wanted to be seen not only as the mum, as the cook, as the cleaner. I wanted to be seen as a woman. Like, you know, in my beauty, in my sensuality, just all that I am, like, you know, as a goddess, I just really wanted to be seen. And what I did before I started doing the work is finger pointing to him and saying, you need to see me. I want compliments. I want, you know, you need to see me. I want do something. Mm. And it was coming from a place of lack and neediness. And yes. Then I had that big breakthrough doing the work is, unless I see myself as the woman that I am, as the queen, as the goddess, no one else will see me like that. So I had to shift my vibration. And what really unlocked that for me was the dancing. I hop on about dancing a lot. It was the dancing. And I started to connect to who I am as a woman after being lost in motherhood. And that just unlocked so many things. And once I started to feel that within, and I started honoring the woman that I am, when I started to honor myself, all of a sudden, everybody else started to honor me, including him. And all of a sudden, he was doing all the things that I always wanted, and I didn't even have to ask for it.
Like magic.
That's an example.
That's a great example. I get so excited listening to you, because it's like, all hope is not lost. There's so much hope here, and there's so much we can do. And I guess acknowledging that for things to change, first must we, and it always starts within. I'm just thinking about my Illuminate coaching program and how it is completely centered around this, like seeing yourself first and coming back to recognizing who you are now in this through matrescence, the transition from woman to mother. Who am I now? Who is this woman? How can I love her? How can I see her and appreciate her in order to be seen then in my relationships? Is that fair? Is that a fair comment?
Totally. I 100% agree with you. And yeah, it takes a conscious effort. And I think for us, it's about really realizing to not ignore the relationship problems and not settle for anything less than amazing. Like, we deep down, if we're really honest to ourselves, we want to feel adored by our man.
Yeah.
You know? And to acknowledge that, but then also to realize, in order to get there, we need to do the work and not shy away from it. And yes, there's the help out there. And yes, there's guides out there to help you through the jungle of it all. But there is so much gold on the other end of it. And relationship can be the source of our biggest joy in life. It can give us wings, but it can also be the source of our biggest sorrow. And it's really on us, you know, to make that choice. What is it going to be? And I find that very, very empowering.
That is a perfect place to wrap up this discussion, Sunny. Thank you very much for being here. You are a shining light in my world, and I can't wait to have you support more of the women who work with me and our listeners and clients and community. You have so much to offer them in terms of bolstering their relationships and having their needs met and just living their best life for them and with their partner. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Benita. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Me Plus Motherhood podcast. If you've loved this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with other mothers. If you are on the journey of motherhood, ready to reconnect with who you are, find your spark again, and shine your light bright, head on over to benitabench.com, or my handle is @benitabench on Instagram and Facebook to connect with me there. See you in the next episode.